Good morning.
Whoa, that's on. Let's hold it down here. Good to see you today. How are we doing? Good, good. Hey, on your response cards, the ones you're going to write your prayer request on, you can go ahead and drop those in the offering box on your way out. It's just right there on the back of the wall. And so if you could just put those in the box, that would be great. Well, we're in week two of our series, You Make Me Crazy. And today we're looking at those that might push your buttons. And it's amazing how those crazy makers in your life can flip the script so quickly that you can go from being totally happy to like not happy real quick. Right? They just know what buttons to push. And so if we're going to deal with healthy relationships, then we're going to have to learn how to deal with anger and how it shows up and how to diffuse it in not only our lives, but in the lives of the crazy makers around us. Doctors have identified at least 50 illnesses that can directly be caused by anger. But at the same time, I want you to know that anger is not always an inappropriate response, right? It's not always wrong. Like uncontrolled anger is wrong, but anger is not always wrong. There are some situations that anger is absolutely the correct response, right? There are some things that we should be angry about. The things like injustice in the world, greed, right? Racism. We should be angry when people are abused, for instance. And anger can be an evidence of love. And we can get angry about these things because we're made in the image of God. And the Bible says that God even gets angry. Do you know that? Like 375 times in the Bible, it says that God got angry. There are some things that are definitely wrong. We ought to be upset about those things. Right? There is a righteous anger. And then there's an unrighteous anger. There's a right way and a wrong way. There's an appropriate way. There's an inappropriate way. In Ephesians 4, it says, be angry and what? Do not sin. Right? Which implies that there's a way to be angry that's appropriate. And that not all anger is sin. Selfish anger is sin. Uncontrolled anger, sin. But the Bible does not say, or does say, that anger is sometimes an appropriate response. Sometimes it's helpful. Most of the time, though, anger in our lives is what? Most of the time, it's hurtful. Proverbs 25:28, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. In other words, if you can't control your anger, you are defenseless. And people then come in and they begin to manipulate you. They control your life, and you're like a city without any walls. Proverbs 12:16, the vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. Right? It means that the foolish is quick to be tempered. A wise person stays calm when they're insulted. Right? Proverbs 16:32, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city, right? He's better than the mighty man who captures a city. He's better primarily because the self-controlled person demonstrates a power even greater than a conqueror might have. And so what I would like for us to consider today is two things. One, I want us to understand the different ways that anger shows up in our lives. And then two, I want us to see some biblical principles on how we can diffuse anger in the crazy makers in our life and in our own life. And so that's where we're headed. Go ahead and take your notes sheet out, however you're doing that these days, as we go through this. And so how we express anger, there are different ways that we express anger. And the first one is that we explode, right? The first category, the way people express their anger is they explode, right? There's no doubt that they're mad. They're very expressive, right? They cuss, they yell, they throw things, they hit, that they just kind of let it fly. And these people are exploders. They're like a walking time bomb. And you pull the pen and they just go off. Right? It's very obvious. And some of you might be old enough to remember the Ohio State football coach, Woody Hayes. So college football is underway, so you know we have to have an example for that. Right? Woody Hayes was an exploder. Right? He had a great career as a football coach, but he also had a very bad temper. Right? At the Gator Bowl in 1978, an opponent caught an interception. He got so mad, he goes out on the field, and he punches this, like, 19-year-old kid. Right? He immediately resigns. Right? It ended his career right there. One moment of anger ended his career. And these types of people are in the news all the time, right? It's the Alec Baldwins and Charlie Sheens of the world, right? They get so mad that they just can't control it, and they just kind of let it fly, right? And it gets them in big trouble. And so there would be a Bible example of an exploder would be like Cain, right? Cain and Abel, sons of Adam and Eve. Cain commits the first murder out of anger. Genesis 4, I'm going to read verses 5 through 8, says this, "But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. And so Cain was very angry, and his face fell. And the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? Why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it.' And Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him." Right? The writer of Hebrews makes it plain why the offering of Abel was accepted and the offering Cain was rejected. It says, "By faith, Abel offered up a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." So Cain's offering was this effort of really kind of dead religion, right? While Abel's offering was made in faith and a desire to worship God in spirit and truth. And Cain's anger was undoubtedly rooted in his pride, right? He couldn't bear the fact that his brother's offering was accepted before God and his was not. And so God warns Cain about this destructive power of sin. And Cain, you can resist sin and find blessing, or you can give in to sin and let it like eat you up and let you can just be devoured by it. And the sense is that Cain planned to catch Abel by surprise, and he lulls him in with his conversation. And what this shows is that Cain really committed premeditated murder and therefore clearly ignored God's way of escape for him. And Cain raises up against Abel, his brother, and kills him. And no human had ever died before or been killed, but Cain saw how animals were killed for sacrifice, and he takes Abel's life in that way. And Cain's murderous rage was inspired purely by his spiritual jealousy, right? And so to be an exploder, it's not the only kind of anger, but that's the first one. The second one is we get silent, right? It's the exact opposite, right? They don't blow up, they clam up, they don't get violent, they get silent, right? And you hold it in and you live in denial and you just refuse to admit that you're angry. Honey, I can see that you're angry. No, I'm not. Well, yes, you are. No, I'm not angry. Right? They're just holding it in. It's what's commonly known as like a crock pot anger, right? It stews and simmers, and it's just a slow kind of burn. Good example of this would be the prophet Jeremiah. He's called the weeping prophet because he cried, right? He held in his anger. He was so ticked off that what was happening in society around him, but he didn't explode. He was one of those people that just kind of held it in. Look with me, Jeremiah 15, verses 17 and 18. I did not sit in the company of revelers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because your hand was upon me, for you had filled me with indignation. And why is my pain unceasing? Why my wounds incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you be like me, a default brook, like waters that fail? And Jeremiah refuses to associate with a company of revelers, right? Those that were partying and doing stuff they shouldn't be doing, choosing instead to sit alone. And he would hold it in, and he was guided by God's hand, and he shared God's anger over the people's sin. And Jeremiah asked these why questions. Why is my pain increasing? Why am I not being healed? Or are you going to fail me, God? Right, he's just bottling all of that up, holding on to it. Okay, so we have the exploders and the silent people. Then the third kind of anger is we become martyrs, right? And the martyrs are the pros at holding pity parties, right? They announce the pity party and they invite themselves to it, right? And so when a crazy maker comes into our life, they don't think that this person is crazy. They think, what's wrong with me? What did I do wrong? It's all my fault, right? If we walk around saying, I should, I must, I have to, I ought, then you have a tremendous opportunity to become a martyr. It's because you will blame yourself. Maybe you have a crazy coworker. You know, maybe it's really not you, right? And it's just that they're, you know, they're just kind of crazy. Or maybe you have a crazy relative, but you blame yourself, and so you become the martyr. The good example of this one would be the older brother in the story of the prodigal son, right? Remember, this guy has two sons, and one says, Dad, give me half of my inheritance. He goes off, and he blows it, right, on partying and doing all that kind of stuff. He wastes half of the family's inheritance, right? He comes back home a total mess. And what does dad do? Dad throws him a big party for him, right? Because unconditional love welcomes him back. And the older brother is outraged, right? He's like, hey, look, I'm the good kid over here. Right? You never have thrown a party for me. I've been here all along. I didn't go out and blow half of the family's inheritance. Right? He gets mad. He becomes the martyr. Luke 15:28 says, but he was angry and refused to go in. And his father came out and entreated him. Right? His father goes out and he begs him to come into the party. Have anybody like that in your family? Right? They have to be coaxed. They have to be pleaded with. They make everybody else miserable. Right? They ruin the family get-togethers. Right? Because they're the martyrs. Right? The fourth one is that we manipulate. And the model of the manipulator is, I don't get mad, I get even, right? It's what a lot of movies and TV shows are built around, this category of anger. Manipulators don't tell you that they're angry. They do things subtly. They do things on the sly. They're indirect cuts and jabs, and they sabotage you and to do things that make you look over your shoulder all the time. And you really can't catch them doing it. And when they say something hurtful and you call them on it, their response is something like this. They're like, can't you take a joke? Right? Except for they're not joking, right? It's just a crazy maker kind of statement. And I think church people are really good at this, by the way. Right? We couch our anger in these spiritual terms, right? Well, like I'm grieved in my spirit. Like, what does that mean? Right? It means you're mad. That's what it means. Right, in the South, in the Bible Belt, we were down there, and here's what I noticed. You can do almost anybody to someone as long as you say, bless your heart. Right? Well, like, what does that mean? I'll stab you in the back, bless your heart. Right? It's just manipulating. That's all it is. Good biblical example of this would be the Pharisees, right? The religious leaders, Luke 6, they're up up in arms and mad at Jesus because he's healing people and he's getting super popular with the general public. Verse 11 says they were filled with fury and they discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Right? They began to manipulate. They began to plot against him. And apparently the religious leaders thought it was fine to be filled with rage and desire and a desire to manipulate, to kill a godly man who never sinned against anybody. That was okay, but you better not heal someone on the Sabbath. Right? Apparently that was the problem. So all four of these ways, whether you're an exploder or a mutter or a manipulator or the silent type when you get angry, all of them are not helpful. So if you can identify with one of those four things, can I encourage you this morning just to unlearn those, just to like throw those in the garbage. So for the rest of the time that we have this morning, I want to go over how do we deal with our own anger. Right, Bible teaches some good stuff on this, mostly in the book of Proverbs, and so we're going to be there for the rest of our time together. And so how do you deal with your own anger? Well, one is I think you calculate the cost. Right? So you, before you get all, you know, up in somebody's face and get all mad, you calculate what you're going to lose. And you calculate the cost of that anger, and you'll be less likely to get mad when somebody's pushing your buttons if you realize that there's always a price tag when you get angry back at them. And Proverbs has a lot to say about uncontrolled anger. Proverbs 29:22, a man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. And so you're going to get into trouble more often than not, and we're going to sin when we get angry. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. Proverbs 14:29, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding. But he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Right? And so what is that talking about? Well, angry people make mistakes. And there's a cost of getting mad. And it's that we're going to get into some kind of trouble. We're going to sin in some way. I'm going to cause an argument. I'm going to do some foolish things. And the question becomes, do I want to do that just because somebody has pushed a button? Let me answer it for you. Absolutely not. Right? It's just not wise. And so when we lose our temper, we lose respect of others. You can lose your job. We've kind of already seen that. You can lose your health just by stuffing it down, not dealing with it. Right? Secondly, way to deal with our anger is other people's anger is we look to their pain and ask why. And I mentioned this last week, and I'm coming back to it because I do think it's important. Those that push our buttons, we need to look past their words and look at their pain to ask why they're saying what they're saying. And so Proverbs 19:11, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Or in other words, it's to his credit to overlook an offense. It just makes good sense to overlook a jab or to look at the cause of a jab. Right? I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again. Hurt people what? Hurt people. When someone's hurting, it's because they've been hurt, and they're probably still hurting. Unkind people are people who have never felt kindness. Unloving people are people who feel unloved. And so when somebody is rude and bitter and mean-spirited and attacking, they generally are people that are shouting with all of their behaviors, what? I need to be loved, right? That's really what they're saying. And so they don't feel secure because secure people don't act that way, right? We have to decide, am I going to overcome evil with good or am I going to retaliate on the same level, right? The third thing is to think before reacting. When someone starts to push your buttons, they may do it visibly, or they may do it in kind of a hidden way or manipulative way. But we need to think before we react. Think before we speak. We put our minds in gear before we put our mouths in gear. Right? Because anger control is largely a matter of mouth control. And so Proverbs 13:16, every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool flaunts his folly. Or in other words, wise people think before they act. Unwise people brag about their foolishness. And in Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. And while you're holding it back, while you're thinking before you're acting, well, what should we be thinking about? Well, I would suggest that you ask a few questions. You ask a question like, why am I angry? Or what do I really want? Or how can I get it? Right? You ask those questions, and if you do that, then you're not going to lead with your mouth, right? You have to be quiet for half a second. You have to think about them. And so when you ask, how can I get what I want, blowing up is rarely the best way to go about it, right? So if we think before we speak, we can identify the root cause of the anger. And usually it's caused by one of three things. Usually anger is caused by when somebody's pushing your buttons. They're angry because they're hurt. That's the first one, right? When you're hurt, you get angry. A few weeks ago, I hurt my thumb. I still have the mark on my thumb. And I'm pretty sure that when I did it, I didn't jump up and down for joy, right? And I'm pretty sure I got mad. I know it's hard to believe, huh? Okay, maybe not. Right? I was mad at whatever. I can't remember how I did, but whatever caused that pain, I was mad. I was mad that my thumb was in the way of whatever it was that did that, right? I probably was just like angry at life in general, right? That hurt made me angry. The second cause of anger is frustration, right? When you're frustrated, nothing seems to go right, and frustration can cause anger. And when you can't control a situation, right, it makes us angry about it. And it means that if you're a high-control person, you're probably more prone to anger because most of life is out of our control, right? Low-control people probably don't deal with it as much, right? The third cause of anger is fear. When we're afraid, when we feel threatened or attacked, we tend to fight back, right? And when that happens, we just need to reflect before reacting, right? Am I hurt? Am I frustrated? Am I afraid? Thomas Jefferson said this about anger. He said, when you're angry, count to 10. If you're really angry, count to 100. Right? Don't text back right away. Don't immediately respond to that email. Right? Wait a bit. Calm down. You know, count to 10. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Do you know just by talking quieter, you can ratchet down the anger in either your own heart or in a relationship? Right? A soft answer turns away wrath. And have you ever noticed the louder one talks, the angrier they get? Right? The quieter you talk, the more calm you are. Proverbs 17:27, whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. All right, the fourth way to deal with our anger is to ask God for help. Right, you pray something like Psalms 141:3 that says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Right, if I have a tube of toothpaste and I squeeze the tube, what's going to come out? Toothpaste. Right, when you squeeze your life, your heart, what comes out? Whatever is on the inside. And one of the problems that I run into in my life with my anger is, you know what? I can't blame other people. I can't blame circumstances because the problem is not those things. The problem is what? It's my heart. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Right? It's what's coming out of me. And so when I'm under a bunch of stress and all of a sudden I attack and I lash out at my wife because pressure and stress tend to reveal what's on the inside of you, right? We don't like to admit that, but that's true. And we hear things coming out of our mouths and we say, wow, I don't know where that came from. Let me clue you in. It came from your heart. That's where it came from. And what I have to do is I have to change my heart, right? The key is to change what's on the inside. And so if you have a well and the well water is bad, fixing the pump's not going to help what's in the well, right? Which is the problem with most self-help books, by the way. They tell you how to fix the pump, but they don't know how to tell you to fix the water in the well, right? Unless you fix that, nothing's going to change. So what do you do? How do you make a difference in your life? Well, you let God's Spirit fill your life. The key is to be filled with the Spirit. And we studied this in Galatians 5 a while back, right? The fruit of the Spirit. You know what they are: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's a fruit of God's Spirit in our lives. And I found this. I found when I am filled with myself, when I'm filled with Pastor Mark, a lot of things get me upset. Right? And a lot of things make me angry. And in fact, I can even make up stuff that make me mad. Right? I'll say to my wife, like, yeah, I can't believe what this person said or did. And she's like, they didn't do that. Right? I make stuff up just to get myself all riled up. But if I'm filled with God's Spirit, right, almost nothing gets me upset because I'm filled with the Spirit of love and joy and peace. And so how do you get the Spirit? How do you get filled with God's Spirit? Well, you pray and you ask God for it, right? You ask for His help. You pray and that you'll be able to depend on God and not on yourself, and you ask for His help. The last one this morning is probably the most important one in dealing with your anger, is that you base your identity in Christ. And so what we have to change is what we built our identity on. Right? We must base our identity in Jesus Christ. Right? That He loves you unconditionally. That you are His. That you are valuable. That you are worthwhile. Right? We start there. If we try to build our identity on anything else, you'll always struggle with insecurity. If you build your identity on your job, you can lose your job. If you build it on the way you look or who you marry, whatever, you can lose those things. But if you base your identity on anything that can be taken away from you, you're going to be insecure, right? And insecurity is a lot of times at the root of our anger. And so until we start to feel secure about ourselves, people will push your buttons. They just will. But when you know who you are and whose you are, it's a lot harder for people to push your buttons, right? They can't get to you. The more insecure you feel, the more anger will surface. And you know why that is? Because you care too much about what others think, right? You care too much about their approval or disapproval. Well, we have to have our identity in Jesus and care about what He thinks about us. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Right? What's a snare? Fear of people. Well, what they think about us. Do they accept me? Do they reject me? Do they approve or disapprove? Here's the thing. When we trust in God, He protects us from all of that. I know you know this, but here's the big reminder of the day. What we need to do that is we need a heart transplant, right? It's called when we come to Christ and we are saved, God gives us a brand new heart and He gives us a brand new identity. And all of a sudden, we don't find our identity in all those other things, all of which we can lose. We find our identity in Jesus and what He says about us. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5 says this, even as He chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will. Now, I get there's a lot of theology in those verses, but here's my point this morning. I just want you to think about, in light of all of that, in light of verses 4 and 5, we need to start letting Jesus be the center of our identity. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for Your word today. And God, it is sad but true. We often get angry at those that we love the most. And God, I think it's because we forget that You are the source of all of what we need. So God, help us remember that when we expect anyone to meet the needs that only you can meet, where we're probably going to get disappointed, we're probably going to be let down, we're probably going to get angry. So Father, I am certain that there's people here today who struggle with anger in their lives. And they might be angry because of hurt or frustration or insecurity. But God, we know that Jesus is the answer for all of those things. And so God, we want to thank you this morning for sending your Son, Jesus, to this earth to die for our sins and to be resurrected and sit at the right hand of the Father today. And it is because of the gospel that we can experience hope and